you're here. Fellowship, greet us, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. We hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading out of Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 23, with the subtitle, The Authority of Jesus Questioned. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. By what authority are you doing these things? They asked. And who gave you this authority? Jesus replied, I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men? They discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Then he said, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. It's July 14th, 2016. Oh, dear one, if you were tuned in yesterday, we learned all about God's authority, the power and authority in His Word, the power of the Spirit's authority to work in and through us, and the power that Jesus has as being the Son of God, the Lord and Savior and Ruler. Well, I'm going to rewind where we left off yesterday just about a minute and a half to set some of the context as I share with you Pastor Jason's sermon as preached this past Sunday, July 10th at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. His topic was on authority, and we know the only proper source of authority is found in Almighty God and that we need authority. It provides great boundaries and guidance, a safety net, and a clear chain of command so that we can live full and peaceful lives under the authority of God. Here's Pastor Jason Schiffo.
Authority is absolutely necessary. Without it, there will only be anarchy and there'll only be chaos. Without authority in the home, a home will fall apart. Parents, can I get an amen? Yeah. Without authority in school, there will only be problems. Imagine what it would be like to go work somewhere where there's no one in authority. Where everybody just kind of get, some of you are going, yeah, that's not too bad of an idea. Like, I kind of like that idea. You may like the idea of having no boss, but unless someone acts with authority, it'll be impossible for that business to flourish. It'll be impossible for your household to flourish. It'll be impossible for your relationship. It'll be impossible for anything to flourish. Without authority in the nation and the government, many citizens will act wickedly and no judgment for their actions. By the way, I just want to point out to everybody, I wrote this message a week and a half ago. I didn't tweak, add, or edit anything last night because I didn't believe I was going to preach the headlines. But I'm going to preach the Bible, which knows what's going on in the world. Because it's the authority. People in nation and governments and citizens will act wickedly with no judgment on their actions. Authority is needed everywhere. And this is something that most people freely recognize. No group, no organization, no nation can function smoothly without somebody in a position of authority. And by the way, none do. The Pharisees recognized the need for authority when they asked Jesus about his teachings, didn't they? In Matthew chapter 21 and 23, they said to Jesus, by what authority are you doing these things and who gave you this authority? Jesus didn't shout them down at that moment for asking and say, come on, there's no such thing as authority. Question authority. We don't need authority. Jesus in this moment didn't say to the Pharisees, you legalists, you just want to be an authority. His response was to ask them about the authority for the baptism of John. He says, where was it from? From heaven or from men? That's Matthew 21:25. See, Jesus pointed them to the true authority and gave even more support for the fact that we need authority. Why would Jesus ask about it if it wasn't necessary? Jesus fully recognized that authority for practices and teachings is absolutely necessary. This question also reveals that there's only two sources by which those practices and teachings can come from, either heaven or from men. That's what Jesus' question was, wasn't it? He said, where did these come from? From heaven or from men? If not from heaven, then teaching must come from men. And the teaching that comes from men, I'm just going to tell you, it doesn't work. up and against God's authority. What did Jesus say in Matthew 15:19? For out of the heart of men come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, slander, sexual immorality, theft, and false witness. That's what comes out of the hearts of men, according to Jesus. Now, if you need any proof on that, I Googled an article recently because I was trying to figure out what the world thinks about authority. And there was a fascinating article that I found, and it said 9 ways to influence everybody around you without authority. Where you exercise no authority. This comes from People Talk magazine, and the author is Russell Horowitz. I want to run through just really quickly and correct the 9 points, just so there's no confusion. He says, first of all, we need to understand the resistance to change. He says everyone has a different tolerance for change. That said, people resist ideas because they fear change, not anything else. Now, people resist change because Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We resist it because ingrained inside of us is a type of evil. He says, just adapt the social style because that's what you really need. Just adapt the cultural style so that you can really speak to people. Although Ephesians 4:14 says that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves, carried in every wind of doctrine by human cunning or craftiness or deceitful schemes. He says, just develop your personal power. He says there's 2 types of power in business, positional and personal. And while the use of positional power is sometimes necessary, you should always use your personal power to influence people. Although Paul would argue in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 4, do not think I came with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the power of the Spirit. My friends, some of our problems is the fact that we want to flex our personal power and not our spiritual power. The Holy Spirit is our power. When I see things happen in the world that I can't understand, it's because the Spirit guided some of those things. Because left to our own devices, we want to do what Jesus said in Matthew. Wicked things. Slanderous things. He says, pass the microphone. Let everyone talk and let everyone have an equal voice. But the book of Amos in the 3rd chapter says, for the Lord God does nothing without revealing His secret to His servants and the prophets. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. No one gets to speak before God. God speaks. He has the authority to speak. He says, appeal to the emotions. Better than a good argument or even the right argument is just to make somebody get emotional. Job chapter 5 and verse 8 says, as for me, I would seek God, and to God I would commit my cause. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal, what? Through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. He says, stress the benefits over the truths. He says, don't explain to them the truth of the situation, just tell them what they're going to get. Yet the Bible says, by grace you have been saved. This is not your doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man might boast. Listen to me, friends. We submit, we don't sell. We submit, we don't sell. We're sent to proclaim, not to push. People are important. They're not projects. You can't divide truth from benefit because the truth of the Bible is the benefit. The truth is the benefit. He says this, and this is a little bit more difficult. Synthesize, synthesize, synthesize. He says if the idea is tough to understand, change the language or the presentation till everybody can understand it. Yet Revelation chapter 22 says, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. God says, I am the ultimate authority. Don't change it. Don't take away from it. He says, structure your points appropriately. I'm going to tell you there's only one point you need. That's Jesus. The last one he and I would agree on, it's persist. I agree. I agree. In God's authority and in God's power and in all those things, we must persist. We must do that. But we must do that from the understanding that God is the only proper source of authority. God is the authority in which I persist from. He's the one who I gain perseverance through. For authority to be worth anything, it must come from the one who has the power to grant it. Men do not have the power to grant ultimate authority. Only God does. Men can only grant temporary authority. God is the only one who can grant ultimate authority. Listen to me. God did not inherit his authority. No one was there to give it to him or to will it to him. God did not receive his authority. No one there was there to grant it to him. God's authority did not come by way of an election. There was no one there to vote for him. No one was like, three in the room say four and five are against. Maybe next time, God. God did not seize his authority. There was no one to steal it from. God did not earn his authority. It was already his and is revealed to us. Timothy says in the third chapter, in the 16th and 17th verse, all scripture is breathed out by God. All scripture is breathed out by God. If you're fuzzy, circle all. All scripture is breathed out by God. If somebody comes to you, yeah, but it was written by men. No, all scripture is breathed out by God. And profitable for teaching, for reproof, and for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I love how Benjamin Warfield in his book, The Authority of Scripture, says this. The Bible is the Word of God in such a way that when the Bible speaks, the authority of himself, the authority of God speaks. You know, when Christian Herder was governor of Massachusetts, he was running hard for his second term of office. One day after a busy morning of chasing votes and missing lunch, he arrived at a church barbecue. It was late in the afternoon and Herder was famished. As Herder moved down the serving line, he held out his plate to the woman serving chicken. And she put a piece of chicken on his plate and turned to the next person in line. "Excuse me," said Governor Herder, "do you mind if I have another piece of chicken?" "Sorry," said the woman, "I'm supposed to only give one piece of chicken per person." "But I'm starved," the governor said. "Sorry," said the woman, "only one to a customer." Governor Herder was a pretty modest and unassuming man. Some would say he was humble, but he decided at this moment he was going to throw a little weight around. So he said, "Do you know who I am? I'm the governor of this state." To which the woman looked him in the eye and she said, "Do you know who I am? I'm the lady in charge of the chicken. Move on." I love that because she says, "I am the lady in charge of the chicken. Move on." It's interesting because the Bible tells us that one of God's many names is Jehovah or Lord, which occurs 6,800 times in the Bible. 6,800 times, by the way, just in the Old Testament. And that word literally means, I am. Exodus 3:14, God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you." John 8:58 says, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." God didn't say, "I might be." He didn't say, "I hope to be or plan to be." He didn't say, "One day in the future, we'll wait and see." He said, "I am." And commanded Moses and Aaron to tell those who were doing as they please that the I am, the ultimate authority, had sent you. Peter Evans says that the actor Peter Sellers, who was known as the Pink Panther, some of you, this may be absolutely lost, but the actor Peter Sellers, who was known for playing the Pink Panther, played so many different and various roles that sometimes he wasn't sure of his own identity. Approached one time by a fan, they asked him, "Are you Peter Sellers?" To which Sellers said briskly, "Not today," and walked away. But this isn't how God is, friends. God isn't fuzzy about who he is. And he isn't fuzzy about it in his word, which is his authority, which speaks about who he is. We have a declaration of his authority, and we have it on good authority. Which is why this says to us, seek first the kingdom of God. It says that because it has the authority to be sought first above all other things. See, the Word of God is sufficient and speaks in all matters of life and faith. There's nothing in our lives that the Bible doesn't address, just places that we choose not to let it address. Our authority does not rest on our skills, friends, on our knowledge or our experience. It rests on the Word of God and the work of Jesus Christ. So that in every situation, no matter public or private, we stand on the solid foundation of God's authority. And here's something that I think is so important. The more we walk with the Lord in obedience and under his authority, the more our convictions and our confidence grows. And that confidence breeds authority, that we stand in authority, that we stand not in our own strength, but we stand in the strength of God. God's strength. Suddenly the situations that were absolutely scary are not scary because we stand in authority and the authority is not ours. We simply say, "Lord, what do you want me to do here?" He says, "I'm going to give you by the Spirit the strength to stand." "Then I'll stand, Lord. But you're going to have to be my strength. I will be because I am. You are. Confidence breeds authority. And trust in authority. And therefore, friends, listen to me. You don't have to be a scholar to offer encouragement. You just have to point people towards 1 Thessalonians 5:11, which says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. You don't have to be married 40 years to help a marriage out. You just have to point them to Ephesians chapter 5. A parent who's struggling with their kids, Proverbs 1 through 10. You don't need to be an expert on the job to encourage your co-worker, Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work as though you're working for the Lord. And then just make sure you model all of them first. See, truth is truth. Truth is truth, and it doesn't need to be changed. Truth is truth, and this truth has authority. Jesus, on the authority of the Word of God, said, your Word is truth. Sanctify them in your Word, because it is truth, Lord. I love how Isaiah says in chapter 40 and verse 8, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the Word of our God will stand forever. So in the very beginning of this message, I asked you, I said that I went to people and I asked them, I said, how are you going to trust in the harvest? And they said to me, well, what do I say? What do I have to say to people? What do I have to say to my African-American friends who are struggling right now? What do I have to say to those people who can't trust in the political systems? What do I have to say to those marriages that are struggling and falling apart? What do I have to tell them? Friends, you tell them whatever the Word of God says. That's what you tell them. You tell them that because that will make a difference. You speak from a position of authority that is not your own. You want to know what to tell them? Tell them what this says. As I close by way of this story, lecturer and pastor Fred Craddock and his wife were having dinner at a restaurant in Tennessee. And one night an old man started talking to them from the next table, asking him how they were doing and if they were enjoying their meal. When the old man asked Fred what he did for a living, Fred saw the chance to get rid of him and told him he was a preacher. I understand that joke all too well. Told them that he was a preacher. He says, a preacher? That's great. Let me tell you a story about a preacher, the man said to Fred and his wife. And the old man got up and he sat down at their table and he started to speak with them. As he did, Fred's frustration changed to profound humility. The man explained that he was a bastard, in literal rather than figurative terms. He was born without knowing who his father was, a source of great shame in the small town that he lived in. One day, a new preacher came to the local church, and the old man explained that as a youngster, he'd never gone to church. But one Sunday, he decided to go along and to hear the new pastor preach. He said, gosh, that pastor was really good. He was really good. So the illegitimate boy, the bastard as he called himself, went back again and again. In fact, he had started attending just about every week. But every week that he showed up at that church, his shame went in with him. He would always arrive a little late and always leave a little early to avoid talking to anybody. But one Sunday he got so caught up in the message and so caught up in the sermon and the worship at the end that he forgot to leave. Before he knew it, the service was over and the aisles were full. And he rushed to get around the people, out to the door. But as he did, he felt a heavy hand on his shoulder. And he turned around to see the new preacher, a big, tall man, looking down at him. He said, what's your name, boy? Whose son are you? The little boy died inside. He died inside. The very thing he wanted to avoid was now here. But before he could say anything, the preacher looked at him and said, I know who you are. I know who your family is. There's a distinct resemblance I see. Why, you're the Son of God. Now, Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 says this, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The old man sitting at Fred Craddock's table looked down and he said, you know, mister, those words that I was the Son of God changed my life. And he got up and he left. You want to know what to tell the world? Tell them what this says. It'll change their life. because it has the authority to do so. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You have spoken, that You have given us Your Word on Your authority, by Your power, and by Your might. Father, I thank You that at the end of every sentence that You make is a period, because You don't have trailing thoughts and You don't wonder about what tomorrow is. I thank You that You are not chasing ambulances and hoping for a better day, but instead You know by Your authority, by Your power, and by Your might, all things. Father, help us to stand on that authority. Help us to speak from that authority. Father, all the questions that we say we don't know how to answer, give us the boldness and the courage to open the book that has the answers, that we might share with our brothers and sisters a hope that does not disappoint, that does not fade away, and that will carry us into eternity in great love. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. What do we tell the world? We share with them the wisdom out of God's Word, our authority, inspired through the Holy Spirit and written down so that we could understand God's will, the one who has true authority over us. I just love that story of the boy without a father being told he's a son of God, which is true for all of us, sons and daughters of Almighty God, as we follow and submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Authority, it's a very good thing, especially because God is the source of all true authority, and we can be at peace knowing that He is in charge. If you missed a portion of today or yesterday's broadcast, they are archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. And FYI, Joey Kroll will be hosting tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends, the Friday edition, closing out the week. So be sure to tune in for his cheery good attitude and his God-honoring thoughts as he hosts tomorrow's program. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.